Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, and Abyaz Karim. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Coming just after difficult budget deliberations last month, Council considered a motion brought forward by Councillor Paul Shaves to look into implementing non-Kingston resident user fees for city facilities and services. The motion cites budget constraints and significant growth pressures, and argues for the importance of residents having equitable and prioritized access to city-owned facilities and services supported by their property taxes. Options suggested in the motion included differential pricing structures for non-residents, priority registration windows for Kingston residents for recreational programs, facility bookings, and other high-demand services, and resident-only access periods or capacity allocations for specific city-owned facilities. Loyalist was the only neighboring municipality explicitly identified in discussion as charging non-resident user fees. Councillor Connie Glenn was the first to bring up concerns with the idea.
You know, I understand the fiscal concerns that we are facing. I mean, we just went through a really difficult budget challenge. But I also am concerned about, to some degree, the neighborliness, if you will put it that way. I'm looking at what's happening in the broader context out here. We've just gone through a tariff scare, and hopefully it stays a scare. But it almost seems a little bit like this, that we're talking about our neighbors next door. And my concern with this motion has to do with that we maintain good relationships because we don't know when we're going to have to rely on our neighbors for support on something. So I'm okay with having a look at things, but I just want to make sure that we don't overstep in how we approach this and that we give consideration to the mutual support that we need to have in our region. So I'm going to leave it at that. I just find myself discomforted by the fact that we're bringing this kind of emotion.
Councillor Ryan Bohm brought up similar worries, also referencing the recent threats of tariffs from the United States.
My one concern here is just in light of sort of what's going on with the states right now is, you know, are we going to start a resident, non-resident user fee war with all our neighbors, and all of a sudden everybody's trying to outdo each other, and it just becomes this, you know, leapfrog effect where everybody's constantly raising their fees for non-residents.
Councillor Jeff McLaren also took issue with the idea, citing larger value-based concerns.
I'm very, very much against the very principle that this represents. We are setting up discriminatory walls. And it seems that other municipalities have also done that already. And we are going to just encourage this. It seems to be getting more. And where does it stop? Are we going to block everybody at some point because they're not paying taxes here? That doesn't seem to be part of the spirit of not discriminate against place of origin. We do have that as one of the principles that we live on in this country. And let's consider what we're doing here. We're actually going to create two tiers of citizenship or residency based on where you live. That doesn't seem right. There's something very wrong about that. Public amenities should be public, and equally so. There are lots of parks in Kingston that I don't visit, but I still pay taxes to fund that. Do we want to have the idea that, hey, if we don't use a particular amenity, I don't want to pay for it? This seems to me that we're being mean and petty and discriminatory.
Councillor Jimmy Hassan brought up his personal experience accessing local facilities, also arguing that Kingston should prioritize its taxpayers.
I remember that when me and my wife was waking up 4 o'clock, get into the line at the YMCA for the swimming lessons. And we are a taxpayer from 2005 since I bought my first house. And we are still paying taxes. And I see the still same situation from the Kingston resident. The long lines and, you know, they have to wake up early. And then still, it's not that we are opposing on them and forcing them to do that, but it's a lack of availability because the other people, other non-resident also in standing up in the line probably in front of them. And about the tariff, you know, we are not trading anything with them. So we are just offering them facilities here. When you use Frontenac transportation, you pay for them. We use their facility for ambulance, we pay for it. Or they pay to us too. It's no such a tariff thing. It's not terrible things asking a fair share to maintain the cost of it. They are welcome to use anytime. They can get into the line with our resident, but they have to pay a little bit more because our taxpayer paying the taxes to use the services from the city, and they deserve better and first.
After hearing from councillors, Mayor Brian Patterson made a final statement and requested that council wait for him to discuss the issue with other mayors.
I think this is about fairness. And you can be neighborly and talk about fairness. Right. So the last couple of years, the mayors of all of our neighboring municipalities have been meeting. And it's been good discussions. And you know what we talk about? We talk about, are there ways that we may need to work together so that not every municipality is investing in the same thing? That maybe there are ways that we can partner and we can create, for example, recreational facilities that maybe can be shared. This, in my view, is just part of that discussion. We're just getting some information about potential possibilities about, okay, if we want to finance new pools or new arenas in the future that are very expensive or other facilities, that we can have those discussions to say, okay, well, there are different ways that, you know, if Kingston was to take the lead on it, the ways that we could look at different fee structures or we could look at different partnerships as we've done so with Loyalist. And maybe there are other municipalities that may want to do the same thing with us, right? There's really nothing unneighborly about this. I think right now it's about getting information. I think what would be key is if council would indulge me, is if the information comes back and we think we want to discuss it further, then I would ask that you allow me to speak to the other mayors first so that we can have those discussions. So it's not something that we're just imposing unilaterally, but we're having those very open discussions about we're trying to figure out how to finance those pieces. These are fair and reasonable discussions that happen all the time between municipalities. So I think that we can all agree that the spirit around this table is not in any way antagonistic. It's just about figuring out how we can do more.
In the end, most councillors were open to exploring the idea, with only councillors Glenn and McLaren opposed. City staff will report back to council with research and recommendations for implementing non-Kingston resident fees in time to be considered as part of the 2026 municipal budget process. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is the latest Queen's Campus news updates on Campus Corner.
Good evening, folks. This is Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you are listening to our segment, Campus Corner. Here we bring you the latest updates from Queen's Campus. Today in studio, we have Kara. She is the co-director of Queen's Project Red, and they are organizing their annual charity fashion show on 13th and 14th February, and we will be talking to her about it. Hello, Kara. Thanks for joining us in studio today. Tell us a bit more about Project Red. What is this Project Red?
So I am Kara. I'm the co-director of Project Red this year. So Project Red is a charity fashion show. Essentially, that's our largest fundraiser, and we raise money for the Heart and Stroke Foundation. We're actually the largest student fundraising body for the Heart and Stroke Foundation in Canada. And we have been a club for 15 years. So essentially, our main goal is obviously to raise money for the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And alongside that, we have a bunch of other fundraisers We do our other fundraiser that's really big is Run Your Heart Out. That happens in October. And then throughout the year, we'll have a bunch of different fundraisers that showcase the talent that will be featured in the fashion show.
Great. So speaking of the fashion show, so what is the main goal of this year's charity fashion show?
So essentially each year, the whole point of the fashion show is to sort of celebrate the creativity within the Queen's community. We do a lot of collaborations with Kingston businesses that sometimes help sponsor like the fashion show. And so that's also another way to celebrate, you know, the community that we're in outside of the Queen's community. But essentially for this year's show, it's a tribute to the sort of childhood books that we used to read as kids. So for example, like we have a scene called like Down the Rabbit Hole, and within the show we have dances, music performances, and we have models who showcase the designs of the clothing.
That's a super interesting theme. So speaking about the participants, how do you select the designers, the models, and the performers for the event?
So because we are like an AMS club, it's all run by students. So if you want to get involved, we normally will do executive hiring in March-ish, April time. And then within the next academic year, so in September is when we'll hire like our cast members. So if you are interested in doing design, or you want to be a musician, or you want to be a model, or you want to dance, or you want to be a photographer, you want to be a videographer, whatever you want, there's a lot of different avenues you can go down. Go to Queen's Project Red on the Instagram and you can find out about our hiring then, which normally happens, yes, like I said, September time.
Wonderful. So, circling back to the event, how can audiences sign up to attend this year's fashion show?
So we are selling our tickets through Eventbrite, and it's all on our link tree on our Instagram at Queen's Project Red. And we also have a website, queensprojectred.ca. And also if anyone is interested in just like donating money to the charity, we have a crowd change, which goes directly straight to the Heart and Stroke Foundation.
Great. Is there any deadline to purchase the tickets?
So the show is February 13th and February 14th. And no, there is no deadline as long as we haven't sold out. It's in Grant Hall at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:15 p.m.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much, Kara, for taking the time to talk to us about Project Red and the upcoming fashion show. I wish you and Project Red all the best for its future endeavors, and I hope you guys have an amazing event. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. And that's a wrap. Folks, we were talking to Kara. She is the co-director of Queen's Project Red, and they are organizing a charity fashion show on 13th and 14th February. For further details, you can go to their Instagram page, Queen's Project Red. You were listening to our segment Campus Corner, and this is Abias from CFRC News. Over to Isabella for sports after.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Monday, February 10th, a 60% chance of snow flurries, a daytime high of -2 with an overnight low of -11. Tuesday, February 11th, we have a daytime high of -2 with flurries throughout the day and an overnight low of -13 with a 30% chance of snow overnight. Wednesday, February 12th, it's going to be colder with a daytime high of -5, an overnight low of -9, with the possibility of snow accumulation in the 5 to 12 centimeter range by Thursday morning. Thursday, February 13th, it's going to be warmer with a daytime high of -2. Snow flurries from Wednesday night will have ceased by dawn. We're going to see an overnight low of -14, however, with heavy cloud coverage. Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. Daytime high of -4 with sunny conditions, and an overnight low of -10. Saturday, February 15th, daytime high of -3 with a 60% chance of flurries throughout the day, and an overnight low of -10. Sunday, February 16th, daytime high of -6 with flurries throughout the day, and a warmer overnight low of -3. Monday, February 17th is the coldest day of February thus far with a daytime high of -10 and an overnight low of -19. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of February 10th, 2025. We begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William to Johnson, is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert, is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Market Street, King to Ontario, is closed until February 21st for the Spirit of Winter. Here is a parking disruption you should be aware of. The Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. This work is planned to conclude in July of 2025. Lastly, here are some other delays you should be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue.
Hello everyone, this is Henry, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History, bringing you this week's concert and events calendars. Starting with events on Monday, the play Big Ticket by Jim Gerard will be having its fifth performance at the Grand Theatre, with doors closing at 7:30. Tickets are available on the Grand's website. Also on Monday, both One Eye Jats and the Brass will be hosting their weekly trivia nights starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. Later, on Tuesday, Runner's Choice will be hosting their weekly group run starting at 5:25 in Berryfield Hills. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square, and on Tuesday, Daft Brewing is also hosting a euchre night starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, the Queen's Fine Arts Silent Art Auction is being hosted at the Tet Center from 6:30 to 9 p.m. with auction tickets available online. Also on Wednesday, Musigi will be hosting its weekly life drawing event. Bring your own art supplies and $5 and participate in uninstructed life drawing and making new friends. Daft Brewing and Something in the Water will also be hosting their trivia nights, both starting at 7 p.m. After that, on Thursday, Daft will be hosting Drag Bingo from 7:30 to 10. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Thursday, the Out in Front Weekly Run Group has a public run starting downtown at 6:15 p.m. in front of Runner's Choice. All people are invited regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. On Friday, which is Valentine's Day, the Grad Club will be hosting their 16th annual Slow Dance from 9 p.m. to 2. Formal wear is welcome but not required, and advance tickets are available online. This event is a two-night affair happening both on Friday and Saturday. Also on Friday, the Buttle and Daft Brewing will be hosting their free weekly karaoke nights, doors open at 9. On Saturday, Queen's PhD student Parisa Nazari will be giving a free talk on interstellar dust in Ellis Hall at 7:30 p.m. The talk is open to the public, free, and will be followed by a tour of the Queen's Observatory. The Kingston Public Market also runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. And on Sunday morning, the Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome, and the Memorial Center Farmers Market will be taking place from 9 to 1 p.m. at Memorial Center. Have you got an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Hello again, this is still Henry Walker, CFRC intern with the Department of History, continuing with this week's concert calendar. Starting off, on Monday, Kingston Jazz and Funk Trio The Morning Dubs will be playing a free gig at Musiki at 8 p.m. Also, the Kingston Jazz Society will be hosting the Dave Barton Trio at the RCHA Club, starting at 4:30. The club at the RCHA will also be hosting its weekly Tom's Tuesday Happy Hour Jam on Tuesday from 4 to 7. After that, on Wednesday, Kingston-based singer-songwriter Frank Ryan will be performing a free show at Musiki starting at 8 p.m. Also, Hotel Wolf Island will be hosting their free weekly open mic from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. Next, on Thursday, The Mansion is putting on a four-act show featuring artists Lucas Oak, Justin Diaco, Pamela White, and the band The Honkies. There's a $5 door charge and music starts at 9. Also on Thursday, Musiki will be having Zane Pastorella in for a free show from 8 to 11 p.m. Friday night, the RCHA is having the Country Duo Whiskey Smokin' starting at 8 for a show. The Celtic Kitchen Party will be playing a collection of traditional and contemporary Celtic, Irish, and Scottish music at Tiernanog from 9 to 12. Also on Friday, you can catch Lisa Lehman and then Trevor Walsh at the Royal Tavern from 5 to 2 p.m., and the Gertrudes will be playing at the Toucan from 5 to 8 p.m. as well. On Saturday, Hotel Wolf Island will be hosting two five-piece bands, The Empties and The Roses, from 8:30 to 11 p.m. Kingston Group $5 Dates will be playing a gig at Tiernanog starting at 9. Also on Saturday, you can catch Juno-nominated Canadian singer-songwriter Craig Cardiff at Musiki from 3 to 5 p.m. Tickets for his show are available for around $25.57. The Mansion will also be hosting Michael Zizek and Blake Little as part of their Mansion Unplugged series from 9:30 to 11:30. Tickets are available for $11.98. On Sunday, award-winning singer Georgette Fry will be performing at the Broom Factory. Tickets are going for $32.50, with her performance starting at 2:30 p.m. And finally, the Buckle will be having Uncle Vinny playing a free gig from 6 to 9 p.m. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.